Chapter 19. Thomas listens without breathing, trying to hear better. Slowly taking a breath, he looks to Troy, who is also on alert, waiting to hear more. A minute passes before the crunching of leaves on the ground breaks the silence a few trees away. Suddenly, two cloaked and hooded figures stalk into view, through the forest in the dim light. Thomas and Troy sit up in their tree as still as they can, not making any noise. The two individuals stop under the trees that Thomas and Troy are hidden in and begin to whisper to one another. Unable to make out what the two men are discussing, Thomas leans down to try and hear what they are saying.
"This is the best chance that we will ever have to do this,"
one of the men says, before they continue walking toward the caravan's camp. After the mysterious men get a few dozen yards away from them, Troy and Thomas begin untying themselves from the trunk of their tree. Silently, they crawl down from the tree and crouch low, using only body signals to communicate. Spread out 30 feet from the two men and follow in line with each other, Troy instructs Thomas with their silent signals. Thomas nods and crawls away from Troy into the darkness of the night. Swiftly and silently, they catch up to the men sneaking toward the performer's caravan. The two hooded men stop a dozen feet away from the firelight of the camp. Staying about 20 feet back from the two men, Thomas and Troy wait at a safe distance to see what unfolds. The two men begin dragging a blade across a fire rod, and a spark ignites a row of flames. Standing a little taller to see what is happening, Thomas sees the two men pull flaming arrows up to their bows and loose them upon the camp. Horns blare out into the night air from the camp, with shouts from men and terrified screams from women joining the chaos of noise. The meadow is clear enough for Thomas to see the wagon that the arrows sunk into, engulfed in flames as the man with the eye patch dives from it before he is seriously burned in the fire. Suddenly, from the other side of the camp, a group of about 15 men descend upon the caravan with their swords drawn. The screaming and shouting intensifies as the musician's caravan comes under further attack. The guards of the caravan are armed and ready and leap into action from around the fires that they sat around. Blades clash and clank with the sounds of dying men gasping their last breaths of shouting. Only losing a couple of men themselves, the attackers are successful in killing about 8 of the caravan guards. Then the intruders advance as a unit, quickly into the camp. Then another group in similar numbers attacks from the opposite side of camp, overwhelming the few guards that are over there. As the two groups of attackers join in the middle of the camp, they have killed around 15 guards, while only losing 3 of their own. Suddenly, hundreds of arrows are rapidly loosed from two wagons in the camp in the span of 15 seconds, completely demolishing the invading force. Guards of the caravan slowly walk toward their assailants lying on the ground in a pile.
"This land will be free once more," a voice cries out from the pile of bodies.
The guards reach the man that screamed and drive their swords into him. Thomas turns and quickly leaves the area.
"The world is ours,"
yells a voice that Thomas knows must belong to Tyron. Thomas pauses a moment, trembling with rage and anger.
"All of those arrows in such a short span of time. How?"
Thomas thinks to himself. Troy and Thomas find each other quickly and continue making their way from the caravan's camp.
"We must learn their weapons,"
Troy whispers as they pass the tree that they were originally planning on staying the night in.
"They will be on full alert, and they must not discover us,"
Troy says, picking his bag up from the lowest limb of the tree and continuing to walk. Thomas says nothing and grabs his bag from the tree as well. Putting a comfortable distance between Tyron's camp and themselves, Thomas and Troy come upon a tree that looks suitable to safely sleep in. Climbing into the massive tree, they tie themselves in and sit motionless in silence. Rage still boils inside of Thomas as he dwells on the thought of his people being mistreated and made to die. Taking deep breaths, he changes his mentality to a more composed one, contemplating how to liberate his kingdom. Thomas vaguely remembers playing in the mines as a child. The entrance to the mine is vividly stored in Thomas's memory. Entering the magnificent mountain into its glorious first chamber, resembling a massive king's court, the workers happily mined the cave system. Climbing atop and across the boulders that still lay on the floor, the prince and some of the other kids of the kingdom happily played in the first few chambers of the cave and beyond. Eventually, Thomas winds down and feels a warm wave of calm wash over him.
"I must do this,"
Thomas mutters to himself under his breath. Beginning to feel tired again, he blinks heavily as his eyes begin to feel dried out and weary.
"I killed a man today,"
Thomas thinks to himself. Thomas feels Troy turn to look at him, but does not look up to meet his gaze. His eyes close and a single tear runs down his cheek. Eventually, he drifts off to sleep. Early the next morning, Thomas wakes from his sleep and quickly unties himself from the tree. Gathering up his equipment, he descends the tree to the lower limbs and stops to search his surroundings for any signs of danger. Seeing that it is safe for him to drop down to the ground, Thomas jumps from the tree, skillfully rolling and hopping to his feet. Needing to relieve himself, he moves a few feet away from the tree they slept in and relieves his bladder. While he is still producing a stream, Thomas hears a thud and roll sound and turns to see Troy hopping up and pulling his bag from the tree. Thomas finishes and turns to pull his bag out of the tree as well.
"We will keep our distance from them. We know where they're going, and they have a big trail for us to follow," Troy insists.
"We need to find out what weapons they are armed with," Thomas declares.
"I believe we will learn everything that we need at the Palace of the Southern Mountains," Troy assures him, placing his hand on the prince's shoulder. Thomas lets out a huff and looks at Troy.
"These people are evil and must be stopped," Thomas declares with great confidence.
Troy says nothing while holding his gaze to Thomas's and nods.
"I will do all that I can to help you avenge your parents and take back your kingdom," Troy proclaims.
Thomas nods with an intensely serious look on his face and then slowly begins walking south, following Tyrion's caravan. 2 days pass with Thomas doing nothing but stalking the caravan through the enormous lake valley. Following the west shoreline of the lake, Tyrion and his company stop at tiny villages along the way, playing for the residents and leaving coin presents for the cheering audiences. Always staying hidden and out of sight, Thomas and Troy blend in with the villagers and study the band. The short, stalky, red-bearded man that plays the guitar has a highly decorated double-sided battle axe that he carries around with him. The tall, shaggy, blonde-haired man that plays the large bass instrument carries a staff with a blade at both ends. Tyrion always keeps a bow and quiver of arrows close by after the attack on his camp a few days prior. Their guards are also armed and ready with various weapons, but seem relaxed by the fact that they are in a village that is controlled by the current rulers of the Western Kingdom. Not wanting to get too close, Thomas and Troy stay back a good distance from the stage that Tyrion's company performs on. When the music finishes, the crowd cheers as Tyrion throws his handfuls of silver coins into the audience. A couple of men begin fighting over coins and crash into the stage. 3 guards of the caravan instantly step in and separate the 2 men that are fighting. One of the men continues being aggressive toward the guards and they strike him in his head with their metal-spiked gloves that they wear. The man that they hit goes limp and falls to the ground, landing squarely on his face. Blood pools under the man's face and the crowd instantly begins shouting at the guards and booing. Without a moment of hesitation, Tyrion and his group quickly begin packing up their stage and equipment onto the wagons as the boos from the crowd grow louder. A couple of armed citizens of the village begin raising their weapons into the air, screaming at the travelling entertainment company. With all of their belongings packed up, Tyrion's group begins to leave town. Thomas and Troy shrink to the back of the crowd as the mob follows behind Tyrion and his caravan. Suddenly, a rock flies through the air and slams into the back of the red-bearded guitarist of the band. Cheers erupt from the villagers as another rock is thrown at the caravan. A group of a few young men lunge at the musicians. They are instantly cut down by the double-sided battle axe of the short, muscle-packed guitar player. The blades of the axe fly from its handle, connected by a coiled chain, cutting them in half. Rapidly winding the chain back into the handle by twisting and walking toward the double-sided axe blade, the man retrieves his weapon. At the same time, covers of Tyrion's wagons are ripped from their frames. Inside the wagons are the weapons that fired the arrows so hellishly on the invaders a couple of nights ago. Men sit on both sides of the weapon with their hands on wheels that they turn to fire the arrows. The villagers stop dead in their tracks and begin backing away from the caravan with looks of shock and outrage on their faces. Without a word, Thomas and Troy leave town amid the chaos, following Tyrion's group.
"It gets better every time,"
Tyrion shouts in laughter, and the rest of the caravan breaks out in strained applause. Thomas's rage peaks once more from the destruction that has been brought upon this land by Tyrion. Squeezing his hand into a fist, Thomas holds it tight for a second or two before relaxing it. Without conversation, Thomas and Troy follow behind the group at a safe distance, watching their every move. With the sun sinking low into the sky, the caravan finally comes to a halt and begins setting up camp. The area that Tyrion chose is very protected by trees and rocks, making it difficult for Thomas and Troy to find a decent vantage point to watch the camp's activity. Settling on a strong and well-covered group of trees, Troy and Thomas secure themselves for the night and fall asleep. The next day, the terrain becomes rockier and steeper as the caravan enters a canyon of the southern mountain. More and more trees appear the higher up the canyon they go, allowing Troy and Thomas to be in their preferred environment and surroundings. The pace of the group slows drastically as Tyron and his musicians are suddenly escorted on horseback by a group of guards up the mountain.
"We know where to find him," Troy says.
Thomas stares at Tyron with a look of disgust on his face as the one-eyed man hastily rides off.
"We will pass the caravan tonight when it's dark and make our way to the palace," Troy exclaims to Thomas.
"Yes, good," Thomas replies to Troy and continues slowly following the caravan. Troy waits a moment, staring at Thomas, before taking a deep breath and continuing up the canyon after him.
"You belong, son."
The words of his father bounce around in his mind. The prince leads the way with his chest high, filled with purpose and determination. Finally, the sun falls behind the western part of the canyon walls. Thomas eagerly waits for darkness to settle in, so that he and Troy are able to safely pass the caravan without detection. Rapidly, the light fades from the mountain canyon as Troy passes Thomas to take the lead.
"We must move swiftly and silently,"
Troy whispers to Thomas. With a nod, Thomas follows behind his mentor as they approach the caravan that has stopped for the night. Laughter and shouting emit from the camp with a dull roar as Thomas and Troy cautiously crawl around the caravan through the trees and bushes. Women begin dancing to entertain the men while they all huddle around freshly made fires. Halfway past the camp, Thomas sees three men armed with swords, bows and arrows and staffs walking their way. Ceasing to crawl, Troy and Thomas wait to see what the men will do.
"I am beyond ready to relax at the palace,"
one of the men says to the others. Thomas and Troy lay motionless, ready to spring to their feet and defend themselves if they must.
"We're gonna need to relax for a while after this campaign," another man replies.
The three stop just a few yards from where Thomas and Troy are hidden.
"We have an even more strenuous mission coming up soon in the mines of the Western Kingdom. The workers there are becoming, non-essential,"
the third man states. Chuckling, the men turn and walk around the perimeter of their camp on patrol. Breathing a sigh of relief, Thomas takes a deep breath after holding it while the guards were close.
"We have little time to learn what we can and get to the mines before they do whatever they have planned to my people,"
Thomas says as he continues crawling through the trees and bushes.
"Aye,"
Troy replies, crawling next to Thomas. Within a few minutes, they are able to slip past the remainder of the caravan without being seen. After they distance themselves safely from the camp, Troy and Thomas cease crouching low and travel standing upright. Finally, able to travel at a quicker pace, they disappear into the darkness of night. Bats flap through the sky above them, eating bugs out of the air. An owl's hoot bellows out from a nearby tree as a rabbit scrambles from a bush and darts between some trees. Thomas feels an energy course through his entire body that he has never felt before. The howling of a few wolves makes Thomas peak in intensity, slithering up the southern mountain. After a couple of hours of non-stop walking uphill, Thomas is still too energized and determined to slow down.
"We must stop for a moment," Troy declares, catching up to Thomas and matching his stride.
Thomas slows his pace a bit, and a little more after a few steps, before he slows to a stroll. Finally, he stops, puts his hands on top of his head, and takes deep breaths. Troy pulls out his pouch of water, and drinks until he empties it. Feeling thirsty himself, Thomas pulls out his pouch and also drains it completely. Suddenly, Thomas detects the faintest of sounds. Putting his finger in the air with an alarmed look on his face, Troy stands motionless, without making any noise. After a brief moment, Thomas continues south in the direction of the sound. It grows ever so slightly louder with each step that they take. After a few hundred more feet up the canyon, they end up on top of a giant plateau, cleared of most trees, and the drums are now booming with lights everywhere. A bright lit city lay a mile or so away, resembling that of a castle surrounded by an enormous kingdom. The tallest building of the city is a towering fortress, scraping the sky, lit with thousands upon thousands of colourful lanterns. The palace is surrounded by countless smaller buildings varying in size, while also being lit up by a multitude of colours.
"Here we are,"
says Troy with a mystified look on his face.